You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Rachel Bomberger from the Lutheran Witness magazine.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu. Live uncommon. We're at the LCMS Synodical Convention in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're catching up with some of our friends in international Lutheran churches. And joining us today, the Reverend Matt Anker, president of Lutheran Mission Australia. Welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
It's great to be with you again.
It's so lovely to have you on with us again. We get to share some updates coming from the Lutheran Church in Australia. First, tell us about where you get to live and work.
I live about an hour outside of Adelaide, which is in the state of South Australia, and I get to work in the same spot. So Lutheran Mission Australia is pretty new. We don't have any head office or anything like that. So we work all over the country and mostly from our own homes when I'm able to be there, which is not all that often.
That's fair.
Now, you mentioned that Lutheran Mission Australia is a very new church. Mm-hmm. I understand there's a story there. Would you tell us how you came to be?
Yeah, sure. Those of us who were involved in the formation of Lutheran Mission Australia were formerly members and pastors of the Lutheran Church of Australia. And, you know, that was our mother.
Yes.
And we remain grateful for what we received through that church. But over the years, we recognized that the church was going in a direction that we weren't comfortable with. And I guess this came to a head when the church decided to ordain women in 2024. So we'd actually prepared for that. We felt that the time was coming, that that was fairly certain. And so we wanted to make sure that people who could not remain in that church with a good conscience had a place to go. And so we established Lutheran Mission Australia in May 2024, and our first congregation began on the 1st of December, same year.
Yeah. So you're a new church body. We're so happy that things have been successful for you, that you've been able to go where the Lord has been leading you in the development of this new church body. Tell us a little bit about the people, the congregations, the pastors that make up LMA now, because it's been a little while since we've talked with you. Tell us about the congregations and the pastors that make up LMA.
Yeah. Things are changing constantly, and so whatever I say now is sort of outdated.
It'll be different by the time this airs, but that's okay.
Sure. So we currently have around 21 or 22 congregations, depending on how you count them, and about 22 pastors.
Yeah.
Of those 22 congregations, 16 of them are new congregations that we've established, and they're made up of people who've come from a number of different congregations, mostly formerly LCA people. But there's also a growing number of new Lutherans who are sort of making their way into our churches and being catechized and received into membership, and that's quite exciting. So 16 of those congregations are worshipping in rented premises, and they're right across the country. So from Tasmania in the south to Queensland in the north, right across to Perth in Western Australia. So it's a challenge to get to them all and to make sure that they're all receiving pastoral care, because obviously as new congregations, they're not all immediately in a position to call a pastor. We've been incredibly blessed by a group of retired pastors who joined us very early. And really, they were the ones who were serving a lot of these new congregations in the early days. Some of those retired pastors have not had a Sunday off.
Oh, wow.
Since we began, pretty much. But we now have 22 congregations, and congregations are getting to the stage where they're able to call. Most of the calls are part-time. But we have a group of faithful men who are eager to serve the Lord and his people. And so they're willing to do what it takes. And that if that includes a part-time salary and needing to supplement it in other ways, they're happy to do so. And so there are a number of congregations, though, that have joined us from the whole congregation has voted to leave the LCA and join LMA. And that takes time, not just in terms of the legal side of it, but pastorally it needs to be done carefully and well. And the pastors who are leading the congregations through those discussions have really done an exceptional job. And so we have six congregations that are former LCA ones, with probably another 10 or so likely to join us before the end of the year.
Oh, wow. That's excellent.
Now, as you speak about things changing rapidly, as we are recording this interview, it is the day before there will be a resolution before the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to recognize fellowship with Lutheran Mission Australia. What will that mean if that vote goes as we all hope and pray it will go?
We are a small group of people in a fairly isolated country, and we recognize that, you know, having been born out of a theological crisis, if you like, there's a danger that you can become almost sectarian because you become so concerned about preserving the truth, which of course is worth preserving.
Amen.
But you can lose perspective. Yeah. And we recognize that part of the way to address this is through international relationships and that mutual accountability that comes with altar and pulpit fellowship. It's also a very strong reminder that we're not alone, a really strong reminder. The people of the LCMS have reached out to us constantly over this past 18 months. People will just drop us an email, say they're praying for us. And I know you don't need to be in church fellowship for that to happen, but formalizing it is just such an encouragement to a small group of people that, one, we're not alone. Two, that other people actually think what we're doing is good and right.
Yeah.
So we're not crazy.
Yeah.
And the people in Australia have a lot of respect for the Missouri Synod and what it stands for and what it continues to do in the cause of confessional Lutheranism across the world. So for the Missouri Synod to say, hey, we want to be connected, that's a huge endorsement.
Yeah. We are very excited to have you here and very excited for the vote tomorrow in real time that is happening for us. Everyone who will be listening to this will know what happens after the fact. But let's talk about theological education. How have pastors been trained up until this point for LMA, and what does that look like for the future?
Yeah, so there's been a seminary in Australia for probably over 100 years, well over 100 years. And for many years, it's been sort of a great blessing, not just to Australia, but to the wider region. That seminary's changed considerably, and we will not be sending our students there. We have a couple of students already here in North America, so one at St. Louis, one at Fort Wayne, and one at St. Catharines.
Yeah.
And we're very grateful for that support. But it is a very different culture here and church culture.
Yes.
So, you know, they're training in a church body with, you know, what, a couple of million people, and they're coming back to a church body that, you know, at the moment doesn't even have a couple of thousand people.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, the context is quite different, and we realize that that's not a long-term thing. So we've actually begun the process of establishing a seminary, and our first intake of students will be at the beginning of 2027.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It is, yeah. So it'll be low-key, very humble, working out of rented premises, and that we rejoice that it'll be faithful and produce faithful pastors for the sake of the church.
Yeah.
One question we've been asking in various ways as we do these interviews, it's an interesting question to ask you. We've been asking what challenges the churches are facing. I imagine being brand new, everything feels like a challenge. But are there any particular challenges that we should be aware of that you're facing?
That's a big question.
I know, for you more than most.
Look, I think one of the big things is the feeling of isolation. And as I said, those little emails or reminders that people are praying for you is remarkably encouraging. And, you know, we want to be looking forward, but we also realize there's a history. And, and some of that history is not necessarily healthy. And so we need to find ways to leave that at the cross and to move forward as God's forgiven and forgiving people. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the biggest challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. What are the blessings? What are the joys that you're experiencing right now?
The greatest joy and blessing is simply going to congregations and seeing the joy in the people who are there,
mm-hmm.
who sometimes for the first time feel a real sense of freedom just mm-hmm. to confess the faith as they know it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
They're not guarding their words. They're not feeling conspicuous. They actually feel united to the people that they're gathering with. And mm-hmm. and it's something that people who are visiting say they are experiencing in every place they go to as well. So mm-hmm. sometimes people are coming from 5-6 different congregations, traveling up to 200 kilometers to get to church because mm-hmm. there just aren't congregations near them.
Yeah.
And yet the sense of unity is phenomenal. It really yeah. is something else.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned how encouraging it is to get notes from other people. We're going to ask you to give a note to our listeners. Can you offer a word of encouragement to us here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
I would encourage you not to take for granted what the Lord has given you and what you are already sharing internationally. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is such an enormous blessing to worldwide Lutheranism, and the way in which the Office of International Mission staff have contended for the faith and supported and encouraged churches around the world has really, in the last 15 years, has transformed what world Lutheranism looks like. And it's really a remarkable blessing. So I just want to encourage the LCMS listeners to know what a difference you are making and to know what a blessing you are. It's very easy to get bogged down in the politics of church and especially around a convention and to see the problems. But from a global perspective, this church body has been a champion for confessional Lutheranism and continues to be in a way that you can't even begin to imagine how important it is.
Mm-hmm. How can we pray for you?
Well, I think one of the things we experience as a young church, well, all churches do, but you know, the devil's pretty active.
Yeah. So, yep.
We certainly seek your prayers for spiritual protection,
mm-hmm.
For a good and peaceful and joyful synodical assembly mm-hmm. next month, which yes. will be our first one, and for the raising up of suitable leaders across the church in all sorts of ways as we try to get established and as we attend to all of those things that new church bodies have to.
Absolutely. It's been such a joy to have you with us, the Reverend Matt Anker, President of Lutheran Mission Australia. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Eagleseth.
And I'm Rachel Baumberger.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.